Time now for a look at legal issues in the country with our segment, It's the Law, with Stephanie Fold from BCCC Attorneys at Law. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, Alex.
Now, let's talk consumer issues, consumer contracts. Now, as a consumer, can you contest a contract? What happens if, in good faith, you sign a contract you did not understand? What's the basics we need to know here?
Well, first of all, I mean, the importance of consumer affairs has increased substantially over the past years, because people are starting now to complain and are fighting for their rights because legislation is now offering in a certain way a better protection. One of the reasons for this increase is the spreading of the internet sales, and the other reason is the complexity of the wording which is used in these contractual documents. So the first difficulty the consumer has is to find the real appropriate legislation or rule which is applicable to its situation.
Okay, because there are many different rules. So yeah. Now you need to define the rule area. So what are the main areas of protection? What is the scope of the consumer protection?
Well, there's actually two main areas. I'll just maybe read the definition to you. Consumer protection is defined as safety of consumer goods and safeguarding consumers' interests. So safety of consumer goods is focused on health and safety for consumers, and safeguarding consumers' interests is focused on the commercial interest of the consumer.
Okay, so basically we have two areas. You have the safety of the goods themselves, and then you have the safety of the consumer's interest, their interest. Not
exactly.
The goods, but their interest.
Okay. Exactly.
So let's focus on safeguarding consumer interest. What does it include, and how does it protect the consumer? What can consumers do?
Well, let's take an example. If you have, as a consumer, you become a member of a gym club for 1 year, you do not speak very good French, and you are provided with a long, hereditary contract in French, you highlight in the conversation that you do not want to be bound for more than 1 year, and suddenly, 1 year after, you get a renewal automatic, and you are asked to pay it, and in good faith, you had signed this contract. Well, what happens in that case, the first rule is that provider should have given you objective information how and what you're concluding. It's got to be a clear and contractual information in the document you get.
Okay, so is verbal information sufficient here, or does it have to be written?
Well, exactly. Legally, it is sufficient. Under Swiss law, an agreement does not automatically have to be done in the written form. The problem is the judge will try to evaluate who has said what in which conditions. So, I mean, practically, the only thing you have to do is try to say in good faith what you did understand, but you should have a written agreement.
Okay, now what happens if the verbal information differs from what's actually on the contract?
Well, if there is a difference and you have both, you have a verbal and an agreement in writing, the judge will actually refer automatically to the written agreement.
Okay, now in which cases can you contest a contract?
Well, the rule is, if you've signed a contract, you're bound by the contract and by the terms which are implied in the contract. So the only times you can actually say a contract is not valid, it's when it's got a default, when it's defective. So typically, a contract is defective when there's a clear discrepancy between performance and consideration in a contract concluded between two people, and one of the person has been exploited in its needs or in its inexperience. That's a clear case where the contract can be void, where one party takes advantage of the other. Another possibility to contest a contract is when the contract has been concluded in an error, when one party makes a serious mistake as to the circumstances when entering into the contractual agreement. Of course, the error must be substantial. You could not just say, oh, I didn't understand that. You really have to show that there's a real mistake. And the last possibility is if the party has been induced to enter into a contract by a fraudulent misrepresentation made by the other party.
Okay. Now, I have a question for you. If we have a contract, and let's say there's some verbal information given, maybe it's not specified in the contract, can you then sort of take a pen and just write in this information and then sign it or initial it? Or is there something you can do to alter the contract that might help in a case like we've just been talking about, a gym issue where you change the contract? Can you do that with a pen, initial it, sign it, date it, whatever?
Definitely. I mean, before you sign it, the parties can highlight any formulation they want to. They can add paragraphs, they can take things out. There's no obligation to keep the contract as such. But of course, once you've signed it, you've actually said to the other party that you agree with all conditions contained in the contract.
Okay, now, there's always this phrase, general terms and conditions. What? When do these general terms and conditions become part of the contract when they're valid?
Yeah, well, I mean, general and pre-formulated contractual provisions are there because they apply to a large number of people and contracts. For them to be applicable, the provider has to fulfill a certain number of requirements. First of all, he has to clearly inform that these preconditions exist. He has to inform the consumer. He has to give the consumer reasonable opportunity to read them, to get knowledge about them. And they must not contain what we call hidden clauses. Hidden clauses, typically the small print at the bottom of the contract, those are prohibited under Swiss law.
What if you contest the validity of a contract or the information by writing several emails or letters? So basically sort of side things, letters, emails, and you don't get an answer.
Well, there's two recommendations I can say. Either you consider that your emails are being sent out validly and the fact that the service provider is not answering is to be considered as an acceptance by him of your claim. Or if you're not too sure about that, well, I would recommend in the next 48 hours, write another email and say to the provider that without response in the next 48 hours, his lack of reaction will be a confirmation of his acceptance. That usually makes them react.
Okay, but this can be legally binding. I mean, these emails and these letters and so forth.
Definitely. They are a formal way of contesting what you've done. Okay. And the formal way of contesting the validity of the agreement. And if they do not answer at one point, it's supposed to be an acceptance.
Wow. Okay. Now, any last recommendations?
Last recommendation, if you don't agree with something like in the gym club situation, do not pay because the service provider will have to think twice before he goes after you. It will cost him time and money and there's a lot of effort behind it, which is not always worth for the service provider. So don't pay, just wait.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie.
You're welcome, Alex.
That's Stephanie Fold from BCCC Attorneys at Law for our segment, It's the Law. If you have any questions for Stephanie, you can email studio@worldradio.ch and you can hear previous episodes at our website, worldradio.ch.